This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Leave a comment or like us on Facebook at WGOX 94.5.
One college football scheduling move yesterday, and I'm always in favor of a Thursday night SEC game to watch. And Mississippi State, according to reports, nothing official yet, but people close to the state program with good sourcing saying Mississippi State moving their opener, Mike Leach's first game, to Thursday night, September 3rd against New Mexico, right there in Stark, Vegas. So that'll be part of the Thursday night college football, that first main Thursday night weekend. I'm excited about that, Brownie. I'm always up for an SEC Thursday night, even if it's against a team that State should dominate.
Yeah, I am too. Let me say this first. Lowe's, do it right. Save 5% every day by shopping at Lowe's. In-store or online, save 5% on eligible purchases just by using your Lowe's Advantage card. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Subject to credit approval, cannot be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only. That's one of those debuts I want to see, just to see what Mike Leach's team looks like. And if that is a college football Saturday, I'm going to sample a drive or two of that game, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if that's Thursday night, I'll probably watch about the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, even if it was Thursday night Joe Moorhead, I'd watch it, but I wouldn't be excited about it because it's Mike Leach, and you want to see who that quarterback is, whether it's KJ Costello or one of those other five guys that we talked about yesterday. You just want to see what Mike Leach finally looks like in the SEC.
Yeah, I agree 100%, and it's a great time for State fans to celebrate Mike Leach on a Thursday night going into that Labor Day weekend. And that'll help the crowd a little bit, according to people who cover Mississippi State, that they have a hard time packing the stadium on a Labor Day weekend Saturday because a lot of the students are gone, and as you would imagine, for a Labor Day weekend. So that's a fun Thursday night way to open up the season, September 3rd for State and New Mexico. Now, LT, I wanted to take a shot at me for the Instagram post that I have today. I threw one out yesterday. Just yesterday was the first time I jumped on this a trending thing on Instagram where you post an embarrassing photo of yourself. And you guys, I don't know how you are at taking selfies. Yesterday, I posted Samantha Ponder and me. I took a selfie, one quick photo, because you know me, I'm socially awkward. I was embarrassed. Big fan of Sam Ponder, and took the picture. And I'm the only person that surprises myself with a selfie picture. Like, I should be the one person in the picture that knows I'm about to take the picture, but I'm always the one that looks like I don't know the picture is being taken. Now, it's a horrible picture. Now, you take it down after 24 hours, you replace it with another one, hashtag until tomorrow, and LT, today's you think's embarrassing as well.
Well, I've never seen, I don't know if I've ever seen you look like that. It looks like you're a different place in time. Look, I know mail order brides peaked in the 80s, but did they send you 3-for-1 in your first order?
He bought them at Sam's.
It was a flight of them.
what's going on here?
I really don't know. I mean, yeah. are you stateside here? I mean, who are the girls? What were you doing?
The explanation, the way it works on Instagram, for those that don't know, hashtag until tomorrow, because everyone is social distancing and quarantined, it's a trending topic on Instagram.
I'm convinced you actually Google this. What is new on Instagram? What can we do today?
No,
because
just,
I haven't even seen this. I haven't seen it from anyone on Instagram.
No, I'll be honest. There were some friends of mine who are of college age who I saw hashtag until tomorrow, embarrassing photo. And then I saw, you know, six or seven more in the timeline. I was like, well, what the heck's going on? And why are you posting such an embarrassing photo? And so I looked it up at that point. Absolutely. I want to know what until tomorrow is, as I started looking through that. And much like C10, Do 10, the push-up thing that's going around on Instagram and that type of stuff, it's hashtag until tomorrow. You post an embarrassing photo of yourself. All you put on there is hashtag until tomorrow. And you take it down 24 hours later. And if someone likes it, they're supposed to also post an embarrassing photo of themselves and leave it up for 24 hours. A way of passing time. Hashtag Jimmy Current.
So you haven't explained the picture.
Yeah, where's the picture?
Oh, the picture. Yeah. You don't explain it on Instagram, but I'll explain it here. That is from local TV. I hate the fact that I don't have all this stuff written down somewhere in a book so I remember everything about it, but I believe that is a trip to Miami for Alabama-Michigan Orange Bowl. Y2K down there, obviously before the wife was in town. I think we were barely married at that time or on our way to getting married. I get confused on dates. And I'm doing a local live TV shot poolside in Miami. You know how you had to do, you know, live at 5, 6, and 10. That was either a 5 or a 6 o'clock live shot. And somehow, in some way, little Jimmy TV decided, why not have three of the people serving drinks right there bar side walk up and sit in my lap.
The best part of it, I just saw it, was Dunaway's got hover hands.
Yeah, you are afraid to...
Where do you put them?
Yeah, no, I know.
Hover hands are the best, the most awkward on pictures.
They really are hover hands. Jim doesn't know where to put his hands. And one of the young ladies has a logo on her shirt, and I was going to zoom in to try to read the logo to see what's going on there, but that really felt creepy. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it's 1990s quality brown. I'm not sure. You probably get a big blur if you just you went in there.
I didn't.
Yeah. If I had to guess, I would say it's a Corona or some other beer.
Right.
A Budweiser or something like that.
You know what you look like in this picture? You look like Frank Caliendo trying to do Jimmy Johnson, the coach.
So at least I reached the embarrassing part of the hashtag until
tomorrow.
Yeah,
you've done it. Yeah. Yep. Congratulations.
Congratulations. 623, we do a Cowan Equipment poll question every day, brought to you by our friends at Cowan Equipment. And today, we're going to center around the Bet Online odds that are out to make the college football playoffs. Now, these odds come out about this time every year, and they will change sometimes weekly, sometimes every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, all the way up until kickoff. So these are not, by any chance, the final odds on making the college football playoffs. But Bet Online sent them out yesterday. And they have three betting favorites to be in the college football playoffs, and they're no surprise. They're Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson. What may be surprising to some of our listeners is that Alabama is third best odds on that list. Clemson is minus 200 just to make the college football playoffs. Ohio State is minus 150, and Alabama is minus 125. First, the business at hand, all our poll questions brought to you by Cowan Equipment.
Hey, and now through April 1st, each new rental or purchase of a Takeuchi machine gets your name entered to win a Takeuchi prize pack. Check out Cowan on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter for more details, including the prize pack contents. For more information, you can always go online, go to cowan.com.
So we'll attack this two ways. Let's go first. There are four teams listed after the three favorites, Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama, just to make the college football playoffs as that fourth team. Who would you take? Oklahoma at plus 125, Georgia at plus 150, basically a second SEC team, LSU plus 200, or Notre Dame at plus 275, and then there's a gap before everyone else. So Bet Online believes your national champion will come between that group right there. First, filling that fourth spot out, where do you go, guys?
Well, I think LSU is going to really drop off. We've talked about this, Brown. I just don't even think it's going to be close to the product we saw last year. Notre Dame, no margin for error at all based on their two opportunities back in 2012, getting run off the field against Alabama and then again against Clemson. Oklahoma, I think it's such an unknown at the quarterback position finally. After seeing Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray and then Jalen Hurts, I just don't know what you're going to get this year. I still think the offense will be good. Defense won't yet be there. I think the Big 12 is going to be more competitive. I'm going to go Georgia. I think Georgia's going to have a dominant defense. And the offense can't be any worse than it was last year.
It's hard to believe. I mean, I don't know what Jamie Newman is going to be. I know a lot of people think even some Heisman discussion with him. It's hard to believe they are going to be worse throwing the football than they were at the end of last year. I think they've got to be better at that. And, I mean, that was a pretty good team at the end of last year. That's a team that's good enough to play in a New Year's Six Bowl. So you improve that portion of it just a little bit. I'm with Lance. I think Georgia would have to be your answer there.
Now, there is obviously a chance that Georgia could be the SEC representative and Alabama could be down in that group. Of the non-SEC teams, Notre Dame or Oklahoma for you?
I think I'd go Oklahoma, though. I mean, they continue to hit a home run after a home run on quarterback, and I just wonder if they can keep doing that. I mean, are Spencer Rattler or Tanner Mordecai – I mean, are they just going to continue to get Jalen Hurts even level play? I mean, of the three, Jalen Hurts probably, this is, you know, with respect, Jalen Hurts was the worst, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay. Now, that's not to say he was bad. He was a Heisman finalist.
I mean, the other two guys won Heismans, and by the way, they were the number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
Right. Now, that was good enough, Jim, to get Oklahoma to the playoffs, but, I mean, will Tanner Mordecai or Spencer Rattler be Jalen Hurts level? Is that what you expect out of him?
I don't think there's going to be much of a drop-off. I would just look at points per game, and I think Lincoln Riley is always going to be up in that 45 points per game range. So I don't think the offense will drop off too much. I think I would go Oklahoma, Dunaway. Just we've seen them there three consecutive years now, or four consecutive years. What is it now? Has it been four straight years for Oklahoma?
Gosh, we've had six playoffs, right? Yeah. Alabama's been in five. I think Clemson's been in four.
No, it's been three straight for Oklahoma.
Three straight for Oklahoma, but they've been in four. They missed a year, right? And then came back.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So they've been in, you know, it's been Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma, then Ohio State. Those have been the consistent four teams that have been in this playoffs, and they are the four betting favorites to get there again. With that curfew and not taking social distancing seriously, Damian Mitchell in studio with us as well, along with Jim Dunaway, Ryan Brown, Lance Taylor at different locations, and Rockstar in the other room. Guys, we'll get to Damian's tryout for Rockstar's job in the Roundtable Lounge a little bit later on this segment, so stay close to your radio if you're still one of those individuals that are working these days, or if you're working from home and listening to us. Our intern, Damian, the pride of Chilton County.
I am an intern now?
Intern.
Oh, did I say intern again?
You did.
Yeah. Well, you sort of were that when you started.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get to be Chris Berman, Mike Francesca's age, you are always that first meeting for me. You'll always be the young intern who's now fully employed.
I got you.
Producer of the show. Producer Damian Mitchell.
There
we'll take the microphone and try out for Rockstar in the Roundtable Lounge a little bit later on this segment. But here's your headline.
Can I ask you a question about Damian, though?
Yes.
If he was living in China, would he have been shot by now?
pointed question.
I'm not sure Damian, there would be any record of Damian's existence right now on the planet. BetOnline has odds to make the college football playoffs. Clemson's the heavy favorite, followed by Ohio State and Alabama. Then there's Oklahoma, Georgia, LSU, and Notre Dame. Mississippi State moves their opening game in the Mike Leach era to Thursday night, September 3rd against New Mexico. It'll be national television. This morning, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have signed Ndamukong Suh to a one-year, $8 million contract. He wanted to play another year with Todd Bowles. Yesterday in college basketball, Kyra Lewis and John Petty both said they will enter the NBA draft process but try to keep their eligibility going. And that's your headlines. As we get going, Michael is next with us from here in Birmingham. Michael, good morning to you. How are you?
Hey, doing good. I just got a public service announcement for everybody in Birmingham. I work for a popular, let's just say, retail chain. We've had somebody test positive for the coronavirus, and upper management said not.
All right, 7:03 on the show. One thing that's that we'll do on the phones, we'll talk about anything, but let's don't throw out any information that I can't confirm. That's the way we'll play the phone calls. Is that fair, guys?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's beyond fair.
I think that was going to be a punchline that was probably not going to be a funny one.
Yeah.
But
this is not the time or the place for that kind of stuff, or passing along any information that I can't confirm. So with that in mind, more phone calls at 834-945-0800-239-WJOX as soon as things reset. One big news story yesterday, guys, involving the National Football League was Dak Prescott going back to the table with the Dallas Cowboys. And folks believe now is the time that you'll end up getting a deal done. And a lot of people are pointing LT and Brownie to the fact that Dak Prescott doesn't have to go through that dividing moment in time with fans or management where he has to sit out a camp trying to get this thing negotiated, right? He is able now to just sit up. Nothing's happening in the NFL. There's no April mini camp that he would miss, no offseason workouts that he would miss trying to hold out to get this deal done with that exclusive tag on him. He's just sitting back like the rest of the NFL, and the fact that they're back at the table negotiating now, most people will see this as a win for Dak getting the deal that he wants.
Yeah, look, he's at least going to make $27 million this year, so he can at least relax. No, he's secure for 1 year getting the franchise tag. Right now, him and his agent, Todd France, they want a four-year deal. Dallas wants a five-year deal. I think they're really close on this, and I think ultimately if they're back to the table resuming the contract talks, I think they get this thing done.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like everybody has kind of scanned the landscape here, and Dallas has probably realized we're in good enough shape at quarterback that we should marry this guy, right? And Dak's people have probably scanned the landscape and said, this is probably our best spot. I think both teams took a minute to take a deep breath and kind of soak all this in and have decided this is probably best for both teams, or both, you know, the team and the player. And I think they're probably right. I mean, if you're Dallas, what are the odds you're going to get a better quarterback than Dak Prescott? Either through draft, or you're not really going to do a free agency. And if you're Dak Prescott, I mean, how many better situations are there that you could realistically go to than what you got in Dallas?
I do think Dak Prescott and Todd France both overvalue Dak Prescott a little bit, because seeking this four-year deal, they want him back out on the free agent market a little quicker than Dallas obviously wants to keep him. So they figure he's going to excel for the next 4 years, and he's really going to get the contract in 4 years.
If I'm the Dallas Cowboys, the shorter the deal, the better for me. I don't understand this, Lance. If they came in and said I wanted a three-year deal, I'd be like, okay, you can have a three-year deal, because I'm not sold on Dak Prescott yet either. If I'm the Cowboys, I would jump at the offer. You want less years? Yeah, okay, let's do that. I know it's about spreading the guarantee money out to where you're not paying a big lump of the guarantee in a short period of time and still losing the guy. But to me, I'd rather have that freedom in 4 years that Dak wants, or in 3 years even, to dump this quarterback without having to pay him a lot more money.
But you also risk on the other side, if he performs like a top 10 quarterback during those 3 or 4 years, then you're going to have to pay him like that. Although with this 1 year franchise tag, again, you're paying him as a top 5 quarterback right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the price of doing business. And if he's performing that well, Brown, then to me, that's a win. Then we're winning a lot of football games if Dak's playing that well.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. And I just go back, if you're Dak Prescott, this is a good spot to be in, right? You're in a winnable division. I mean, that division, it's not a very good division, which means it's a very winnable division for the Dallas Cowboys. And if you look at it, I mean, where are you going to go that's better, right? I mean, I guess if there was a way, you know, New England struggled this year, you play the one-year franchise and somehow ended up New England, maybe that's a better situation for you, okay? But that's kind of a pipe dream. I just think you scan the landscape of it and you say, I'm probably better off in Dallas than I could be anywhere else.
I just wonder where Mike McCarthy thinks he is with his quarterback, because Mike McCarthy, remember, he had Aaron Rodgers for all those years.
Yeah.
And he goes from, at that time, what was viewed as the best quarterback in the world to now Dak Prescott, who's probably a 12 to top 15 quarterback.
That is something to keep an eye on in Dallas. Another thing, and I love this about Bruce Arians, friend of the show who comes on with us a couple of times a year. So we'll probably be catching up with Bruce in the summer here. But he's got Tom Brady now. And nobody blames Tampa Bay for taking 2 years with Tom Brady and letting Jameis Winston walk, I believe. And some people wonder, okay, did Bruce and Jameis get along? You listen to what Bruce Arians told Rich Eisen on his radio show, what he has done for Jameis Winston. And you tell me if Bruce Arians doesn't have some respect for Jameis Winston. Here's the coach of the Buccaneers.
You're going to get one of the hardest workers you've ever had, and a great young man. It didn't work out for us only because Tom Brady was available. And we had Teddy Bridgewater. If that would have worked out, but if not, we were going full steam ahead back with Jameis. He's a great young man, and nobody's going to outwork him. I talked to two teams.
You did. And I don't know if you're willing to – I'm sure you're not willing to tell which teams they are, but
– Yeah, I like to keep that one to myself. But
okay.
Yeah.
What do you sense the level of interest is for him? As a starter or what?
No, I think it was just to get him on your roster. And it would be a great fit. And one team was not interested in the other one. Hey, thank you for calling.
So interesting there. Thank you for calling. And one was not interested, and not necessarily as a starter. But there's Bruce Arians calling two NFL teams trying to get Jameis Winston a gig. What do you guys make of that?
Well, it's easy for him to do this now. You can hype up your guy. You can be Jameis's hype man now that you've got Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. This makes a lot of sense. But the bottom line is there was a reason you made a move. Jameis Winston threw almost four times as many interceptions last year as Tom Brady did.
I mean, the funny part of it to me was Bruce starts in on the, you know, well, we had Tom Brady, and then it occurs to him, oh, yeah, it was very public that we wanted Teddy Bridgewater, too. So, look, Jameis was going to be our quarterback except for Tom Brady. And, of course, there was Teddy Bridgewater, a guy who wasn't even starting in the NFL last year.
And maybe Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
Those interceptions were almost as big of a problem as Jameis.
Yeah, that is a funny way to look at it. I like the fact they said they had Bridgewater ready to go, too. So they had two pretty good feels that they were going to have a different quarterback this year. Bruce Arians on Jameis Winston, though, trying to find him a gig. All right, Rockstar's got a gig this weekend. He is not singing somewhere with black jacket. He's actually wearing a black jacket to get married this weekend to the lovely Nancy. So our roundtable family will grow by one as Nancy joins the group, and we appreciate that so much. Rockstar will not be here tomorrow for the roundtable lounge. So to kick off the Rockstar Bachelor Party for the rest of the show, it's this place is gonna be lit from different locations. This will be like New Year's Eve. Ryan Seacrest in one place, and we'll go out to LT in another place. Brownie's down in Times Square.
We're gonna do all time zones too.
Ooh, yeah.
Is he about to do Pony by Genuine? Yeah. You know, Brown thinks he's gonna kill it.
Don't give it away, Damien.
I see Eddie Murphy doing Roxanne in 48 hours.
Damien says though he kills it on karaoke when him and Big Dog are out running, that he is not afraid to hit the karaoke mic.
Not at all.
All right, so this is karaoke.
I'm just gonna do the first verse and the chorus. I got asthma, man, so you know it's too early in the morning.
Yeah. Well, wait, you got asthma, and you're not, and you're anti-social distancing.
Dude, you're
at risk with asthma.
Dude, that was one time. That was one Saturday night. I was with a group of people. Other than that, I have literally go to work and I go home.
You are who your scoreboard says you are, Damien.
The truth. That's what they say.
You told us Friday night was the get together.
Yeah, that was it.
That was the okay.
All right,
Damien. Now practicing social distancing.
I was doing it before. Again, it was just one night, and then all of a sudden, now I don't take it serious. It's just that one night, man. I'm good. I promise you.
I've never heard Damien make excuses before. Before he sings,
those are tools for the incompetent and the bridges leading to nowhere.
It takes one bullet to kill a man, right?
Yeah. Here we go. I've got asthma is his disclaimer.
Yeah, I'm not trying to sing the whole song. I'll give you the first verse leading to the chorus, second verse.
All right, here we go. Damien trying out for Roundtable Rockstar Lounge for tomorrow. Hit it, guys. I like the tune.
Oh, yeah. It's that Ronald Isley, baby, Contagious. Do it for the culture.
Hey, baby.
Do it for the culture.
It's 2 a.m. I'm just getting in, about to check my message. No one is around but the homies and some bill collectors. Cellular ring, somebody wants to borrow money. I two-way her, she don't hit me back, something is funny. So I called her mother's house, asked her, has she seen my lady? Drove my six around, looking for that missing lady. Got back in, turned the TV on and caught the news. And I put my hands on my head, cause I'm so confused. And then I turned the TV down, cause I thought I heard a squeaky sound. Oh, something's going on upstairs, yeah. Cause I know nobody else lives here. As I get closer to the stairway, all I hear, and then I hear my baby's voice in my ear, screaming out, you're contagious, touch me, baby, give me what you got. Hey, sexy lady drives me crazy, drive me wild. Hey, go ahead and cut that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's wow, better than I thought it was going to be.
That's incredible.
I told you, I play no games, man.
Dude, you missed the body language, too. This guy was in it for the game.
Yeah. For the culture, baby.
First response on Twitter, at Diana ESPN. I don't know who that is.
hey, watch him out.
Says, I'm all in.
We lose him in a minute.
Yeah. 714. That was better than I expected. What about you, judges?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I give that a good, strong eight. Yep. I mean, Damian's got a very unique voice to begin with.
Which is why I didn't think you'd be able to sing, because you have a deep voice that I didn't think you'd be able to bring up and hit some notes. But that was better than I thought, man.
Yeah, I give it an 8 out of 10.
Hey, yeah. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
I wish I could sing that well, which I can. That was fantastic. But let's do this, all right?
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
Dunaway idea.
The scary wheel is turning.
The scariest thing on this show is when I said, okay, let's do this. 30 seconds only. I only want 30-second clips. And send them to my DM on Twitter. My DM on Twitter, at Jim Dunaway.
Jim Dunaway?
Jim Dunaway, my DM on Twitter. 30-second clips. If you're a singer that sings in a bar in town or anywhere you're listening to us, if you play in a band, if you're just like Damian and try to woo the ladies, whatever you got, 30-second clips in my DM. And tomorrow, in place of Rockstar's Lounge, if they're good and we get a few of them, I may drop some of your 30-second clips throughout the show, just giving you a sample to fill the lounge. What do you guys think about that?
I think you're going to be very, very busy going through these today.
Yep. But I'm good with it. I like the idea.
It's fine.
All right. Yeah. So if you want to get 30 seconds on the show tomorrow, DMs only, at Jim Dunaway, 30 seconds of you singing. No guarantee you make the air though. No guarantee. I will pick through them, and depending on how much time I have to edit them up, we'll work through them throughout the show. But Damian, thank you, man.
Oh, everyone, yeah.
Ben says 100. Go, hey, Damian.
Appreciate it.
Josh says, I'm not sure Contagious is the best song choice.
It fits.
During the pandemic.
It fits.
Christian says, I'll take Rockstar hands down. It wasn't a competition.
Hey, to each his own. To each his own. My mixtape drops here soon.
Deuce says, Damian got to do R. Kelly's part to that.
Hey, I can do all three of them, man. Now, that's a certain part of the song that, like, you have to do. There's a female part, there's a male part, and then there's another male part. And literally, the rite of passage is you do all three verses. You have to. But I can't write now.
Rite of passage.
Thomas says, makes you appreciate Rockstar a little bit more. Oh, shout out Damian.
Haters, man. Haters gonna hate.
Yeah.
Haters gonna hate.
Someone else says, Damian, it sounded like he was pretending Diana ESPN was sitting, Diana Rossini was sitting across the room. Here's your sort of trivia question of the day. This is the stat that blew my mind yesterday from ESPN stats. Today was supposed to be baseball's opening day, right?
Right.
We got no opening day in baseball. But talk about home runs from the seventh inning on. Home run leader all time from ESPN stats. Home runs that happened in the seventh or after in Major League Baseball history. Hammering Hank Aaron, Alabama native, 236. He's the all-time home run leader.
Wow.
For home runs from the seventh inning on. He had 236 of those. Babe Ruth was next at 233. Willie Mays third at 215, the guy I call the best baseball player of all time. Barry Bonds at 201 and A-Rod at 194, the top five home run leaders seventh inning or later. So some late home runs from the Hammer, the Babe, and Say Hey Willie.
I guess not a big surprise, because those are your top 5 to 10 home run leaders of all time.
It's clutch hitting, though. I mean, to think that they came in the seventh inning or later, those feel like more meaningful home runs than normal, right?
I wonder who the active guy is right now.
Of seventh inning homers or later?
ESPN stats did not give me that. I see if I can chase it down. Maybe somebody asked him in the timeline. 8:04, as we move through another hour, brought to you in part by our friends at Baumhauer's, I will tell you that some good news came yesterday if you're a fan of the old NFL uniforms. You know, I'd wondered why we had stopped seeing Patriot Pat, the hiking Patriot on the side of the helmet, and why we'd stopped seeing the swashbuckling Buccaneer in the orange uniforms. That's because recently the NFL had passed a rule that I had not heard, that it was one helmet. Mandated you only had one helmet. You couldn't use alternative uniforms with different helmets, so you had to keep your current helmet. And, you know, some people were able to pull a stripe off or a logo off and do like the Packers and the Bears or the Packers and Lions throwback games, but those buzz uniforms that the Steelers used, no Patriot Pat, no orange creamsicles for the Buccaneers, Nothing will change this year, but they're looking for 2021 of rescinding that rule or loosening it up to allow those throwback games to happen. Your thoughts?
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, we had it before.
Right.
I mean, you guys remember when Rockstar's Detroit Lions would go with the all-silver helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Jets went with the old Titans look. I mean, you know, so the Steelers had that weird, I don't even know what they were, like bumblebee uniforms.
Yeah.
Right. Now, how is the rule? I hate for you to have to go all the way into it again, but specifically worded how?
Well, originally, Brown, it was done for the reason of safety with head injuries is why they changed the rule so that you had only one helmet. You couldn't use alternative helmets and have multiple helmets because of the high-tech fitting that goes in for each player's personalized helmet. So you just couldn't do that. Now, obviously, they're a massive of riches, and they're going to allow players to get fitted for different helmets. LT brought up the Lions. That was easy. All you had to do was pull all the logos off. You kept your silver helmet.
That's true, yeah.
But for, like, the Titans, it was a different color. The Buccaneers was a different look than what they normally have, and that's why, same thing with the Patriots. It was a white helmet as opposed to a silver helmet. So they're going to bring that back, and they've worked around the head injury, the safety issue of it all, and the personalized part of the helmet for each player. They've realized these games produce a massive amount of gear sale and money that it will absorb the cost of having the extra fitted helmet for the players.
You know, it's one of the first things I do when the Dolphins schedule is announced is look for the throwback games, because they always say, you know, normally it's when the Patriots come to Miami, they've done it. You know, this is going to be throwback. Because I love the old Dolphins uniform, and I get more excited about the throwback games regardless of the opponent. And I promise you, and on the numbers in front of me, the Dolphins play better in the throwback uniform. I think over the years they have played better in the throwback uniform, and I wonder how many other teams do that. Like,
I could see that, though.
But they legitimately – I watch the players on social media done away. They legitimately get excited. They'll be tweeting out and doing Instagram stories and crap like that when the – uniforms show up in the locker.
Yeah,
they get fired up.
Would they get excited if they played in that uniform 16?
I really wish I could find out, Lance. I don't know.
I would tell you it's for that reason. The buzz. Why did Notre Dame throw on those green jerseys that day? It was to create an extra bit of excitement. Why do you have specialty uniforms in college football? Is to create that kind of excitement. So I could see that happening. With that in mind, guys, if I asked you. Through this lockdown, there are very few winners. I know that. But what may be one of the winners to come out of this is professional franchises in all sports may become even more fan-friendly as they try to get everyone back into this LT. And also, pricing may change a little bit. This is one rule that I think the NFL is looking at and saying, you know, the fans will enjoy this. So let's make this happen. There could be a boatload of those things coming for fans as we get back to normal.
Well, you know, I hope so. You're going to have to do something about the pricing, because even if we're able to work this out, best case scenario, after Easter, the economy's already taken a hit that's going to set us back months. So your typical family of four, I mean, how many of these people can actually go to an NFL game, much less order a shirt off of NFL.com.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but through all of this, there are a lot of things I've realized I took for granted, right? I mean, there are things we can't do right now, things that are shut down that were day-to-day things for us, and we took it for granted. There's no doubt. And I know me as a human being, I'll get back to taking that for granted at some point, but it won't be initially, right? I think if you're an NFL franchise or an NBA franchise, you probably took the fact for granted that people are going to show up to my games, and B, we're always going to have big fat TV contracts.
That's right.
And if nothing else, right now, this should tell any team owner, you can't take any of that for granted. That could go away overnight. I mean, just ask the NBA, ask the NHL. I was reading this morning, the same guy that bought and shut down the AAF, that Tom Dudden guy, is apparently about to lay off his entire staff for the Carolina Hurricanes NHL team.
Yep.
I mean, do you think right now he probably thinks, boy, I took a lot of this for granted. I took for granted the fact that even though it was an NHL TV deal, not an NFL TV deal, we still had a good TV deal. We had fans packing the arena every night. And now that arena is empty and I'm having to choose to lay people off.
Yeah. The guy that owns the Miami Heat, he makes his money. I think it's Carnival Cruise Lines, maybe multiple ones.
Oh.
But he that is his main industry, I believe. And he's a billionaire, yes, but you know where, you know, how much money is he losing on a daily basis being the owner of the cruise industry? I mean, that's a tough one to be the billionaire guy in charge. Now, I'm not sitting here comparing the problems in America for the average American to a billionaire, but everyone's got problems. So for the fans, that could be a positive coming out of this. If I said, name me some more winners coming out of this lockdown, whether it's on the field or off the field, can you guys name anybody else?
The biggest winner is the dog. It really is, because social distancing.
Like the actual animal?
Yeah, like you would leave your dog and you would go to work, or you would go out to dinner and you would go for a date night and your dog would be stuck at home by itself. The dog is with you all the time now.
You know what?
I think the dog is almost the biggest winner of anyone during this pandemic.
There's been a turn in my house, actually. Now, Baxter is you know, just his muscle structure. You can see that we're to the final few months or years for Baxter. He's way up in age. And that's my dog that I've had, you know, since Harper was a baby. Love him to death. And then the other dog in the house is my wife and daughter's dog, Charlie, who we have always had a not a nice relationship, me and him, because he sleeps in our bed. And I've got a nickname for him that I said on the air one time, and I can't say it. You guys said I couldn't say it, but he's, well, I'll clean it up. He's Charlie Blocker is another way of saying what he is. Anytime I try to touch my wife, he bites me when we're in bed. So we have to kennel him any time that I try to bust a move. And the relationship, though, during self-distancing and quarantine has changed between Charlie and me. Like, I took a nap yesterday, and the wife and everyone was in the house. Usually, he's by my wife's side no matter where she is. He jumped up in the bed with me and laid right under my arm for the entire nap. He was there when I woke up. And I got up. He got up. I walked outside. He walked outside. So Charlie Blank Blocker has turned into my best friend during this quarantine. That's a heel turn, I believe.
They got outside, took a deep breath, and Charlie goes, "Look, Jim, here's the deal."
You guys will give me, though. The dog is the big winner.
I think, like, my dog, Charlie, we've got a little, I don't even, it's a Yorkie, a party Yorkie. It's like a 5 or 6 pound dog.
You've got the miniature Yorkie.
Miniature Yorkie. And my wife, Jennifer, said, I think he's wondering what's going on, because, you know, she stays home. So she's home with him all the time. But the kids go to school. I go to work, go to the golf course. We're home all the time now. And she's like, I really think he's confused. He cannot figure out why everybody's at home all the time now.
Is there a chance that our dogs are going outside and up to the fence and talking to other dogs in their language, going, honest to goodness, I think Ryan lost his job. He's at home all the time now.
These people are driving me crazy,
and,
man.
I never get any time to myself. Why is everyone at home? They're just talking. They're confused. Lighting a cigarette by the fence. I don't know, dude. It is chaos in my house. I don't know what's happening in your house.
These stupid kids will not shut up.
Yeah, everyone's what? I mean, they're taking me for walks now. Dunaway's never taking me for a walk, and all of a sudden, he's got me out walking the neighborhood. Right now, we're part of Four Downs, brought to you by Vulcan Tires.
Hey, four great locations for you: Gardendale, Hoover, Moody, and Trustful. Take your vehicle to Vulcan Tire and Automotive. They take care of your vehicle, so your vehicle takes care of you.
First down.
What is classy if you're rich, but trashy when you're poor?
Things in your front yard. Like, if you're rich, you can put like a stone fountain.
Right.
Or gnome or any of that in your front yard, and you're rich. But if you're doing that in the trailer park, people think you're trashy.
See, I'm kind of like Dunaway, because mine's inside. I was going to say a very large chandelier, like one of those gaudy, ostentatious chandeliers. If it's in a mansion, I mean, it may be absurd, but it's in a mansion, right? But if you put it in a 1,500 square foot house, you look like an idiot.
Yeah, this is a tough question. I agree with both of y'all's. Those make sense. Maybe animal print. I'm not a big fan of the animal print.
Me either.
But, you know, you get some uppity chick wearing animal print, and, you know, maybe if she's a celeb, it looks normal. And if you see somebody in the trailer park wearing animal print, it looks trashy.
Mine would be cars in the driveway.
Well, that's true. Some of it depends on the model of the car.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can have 55 beaters on cinder blocks.
Yeah,
that is absolutely true, Rockstar. But you got a fleet of Royals. What is it? Rolls Royce. Yeah, that car.
Nice cars.
Mercedes.
The old double R.
Yeah.
Second down.
I'm bad with R's.
If all sports had to be played while drunk, what would be the most entertaining sport to watch?
Well, we already do golf, right?
Yeah. Yeah, golf would be easy. Because yeah. I don't know.
I've seen some people.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people that actually are better when they've been drinking. Yes,
yeah. There's that window for a lot of people. It's between like drink three and drink eight where they get a lot better.
Yeah, I think basketball because it's nonstop activity. And, you know, you've got so many athletes running and jumping and just, I mean, you know, from the handle to passing, it would be a complete mess if everybody was drunk.
Dunaway, I was thinking baseball because there's so many factors. The pitcher having to try to throw it straight in the event the batter makes contact, him trying to navigate the bags.
No, there's nothing funnier than ice and drunk people. So ice hockey would be it for me.
True, yes.
The National Hockey League while intoxicated. Like you had to blow a 0.8 before you could even do a shift change and get on the rink. That would be fantastic.
What about Giant Slapshot did it, right? They put him on the boards.
That's right. That's
what about
right.
Gymnastics, dude, on the
oh gosh, yeah,
I was doing the floor terrible. Routine.
Third down.
What do you say to an ugly person who asks you if they are ugly?
We do that show every day here. I ask something and Lance tells me the truth.
I don't think an ugly person would ever ask if they're ugly. If in fact it happened, you would just lie, right?
Yeah.
No, you?
No.
You're not ugly. Well, then lie, yeah. So the question is, like, if somebody comes up and says, Brown, am I ugly?
And they are 100% ugly. What do you say to them?
Let's say Steve Buscemi walks up to you.
Okay.
Hey, Brown, am I ugly?
I don't view you that way. No.
No.
Has somebody told you you're ugly?
Every person is.
My mom. My mirror. Dad.
Every person is beautiful in different ways.
Yeah.
Steve. The reflection in the pond, my kids.
like even if Joe Exotic's boyfriend or husband walks up to him and asks, Joe, am I ugly? And he's like, no, you have a beautiful tooth.
You keep that thing brushed.
Fourth down.
And what is the most American movie?
I'm going to go a different route from you guys. So okay. Let me set this up.
You know what I'm saying?
Because yeah. I think y'all are going to go patriotic.
Okay, maybe.
I am not.
Okay. Well, I was going to go Used Cars from 1980. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Robert Zemeckis, the same guy that wrote and directed Back to the Future, did this.
Robin Williams and Kurt Russell?
No, Kurt Russell is the star. Robin Williams is not in it.
Okay.
An old Jack Warden is in it, though. But see, this just kind of sums up America. It's like you're trying to make a dollar. You'll do anything to make a dollar. It's got the sex and drugs in it. You know, you F over your neighbor to make a buck. It's just it's got a lot of America in it.
Oh, I think the true American movie is The Hangover, 2009.
Just excess. Everything's excess.
Yeah. And it's all about chasing that good time. That's what most Americans do at that point in life.
Yeah, but how many people experience the hangover? It's a small population.
You know, and this may come as a surprise because Lance thought you and I were going to go like The Patriot or Saving Private Ryan or something like that.
American Sniper.
Yeah, mine is actually going to be The Pursuit of Happiness because it both shows the struggle that a lot of people face based on a number of different factors, but it also shows the possibility that if you are dedicated and work hard enough, you can make it in this country. I mean, I think it shows both of them, right, at the same time.
I think it depends on period and time of your life, too, because there was a time I thought Porky's was a great American movie. I thought everything was about Porky's.
None of y'all are going to say the inspiring speech that the president made while getting into an F-14 during Independence Day.
I thought about it for a minute, Rockstar, no joke. So that is Bill Pullman is the president. Bill Pullman and Randy Quaid is like, he's their star pilot or whatever.
Harry Connick Jr. is one of the star pilots.
Yeah, he kind of loses it. But our president gets into one of those fighters and gets in there.
I love it.
The most inspiring speech.
So is that yours, Rocky?
Yeah, I was trying to think. Because it's interesting to see what way people will say if it's a patriotic way or just something like the way that Americans do things.
I think based on the Twitter feedback quickly, I think people are thinking Americana because Steven says National Lampoon's Vacation. I mean, that is a very American movie. But it's kind of Americana, though.
That is trash on... Excuse me, no. That is Four Downs. Four Downs brought to you by...
Vulcan Tire and Automotive. Four great locations. Gardendale, Hoover, Moody, and Trustful. Locally owned and operated by Birmingham guys. Make sure you check them out at one of those locations or online, VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
Leave a comment or like us on Facebook at WGOX 94.5.